Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
We are the Satellite Sisters. Welcome to the show. It is our second show of the year. We're calling this year Lucky 13 because I think last year we titled it Sucky 12. Was that pretty much the way last year went for the Satellite Sisters?
Yeah.
I think so. So we've moved on from Sucky to Lucky, or that's what we're hoping. I'm Liz Dolan. I'm in Santa Monica. Joining me on the line, Julie Dolan in Dallas, Texas. How are you doing down there?
Great. Can't wait to talk with you all.
Okay. Sheila Dolan, South Pasadena. We're happy to have you this week. We had some technical issues with you last week, right?
Yes. And I expect there'll always be technical issues with me, but it's great to hear you guys.
Yes. It's what we in the family call limited connectivity, right?
And, yeah, there you go.
And Leanne Dolan in Pasadena, California. Welcome to Satellite
Sisters. I am happy to be back in the closet, and I will just announce very briefly that yesterday afternoon at 5 p.m., I typed the end on my novel. So there you go. The end. I finished it.
Hallelujah, Leanne.
Woo! Hallelujah.
Yeah. More on that in further podcasts. But if you're wondering where I've been, it's in my J. Jill outfit writing a novel. That's where I've been.
Gotta love that J. Jill. It's comfy. Comfy for that. Well, we have quite a roundup of things, you know, big news and personal news. I mean, given where we've been over the years following Lance Armstrong as sports fans, I feel like we have to start with that story. But first, Leanne, I want to ask you, I just sent you a video. You have, well, all the sisters will think this is funny, but Jimmy Fallon the other night took Lance's testimony, so to speak, and turned it into a country song that he entitled "You're a Crazy Bitch, But You Ain't Fat." And those of you who watched the Lance, I only watched installment number one because then I was done. After
right.
the first night, I was like, I didn't need to hear another word from Lance Armstrong. Probably ever, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Betsy Andreu, he apologized to her by saying, yeah, I did call you crazy. I did call you a bitch, but I never called you fat. And I thought, that is amazing that he thinks that is a sympathetic point of view, you know?
Well, let's just face it, Liz. It was a terrible week for sports journalism across the board. Okay? They were duped for 15 years by Lance Armstrong and for 15 months by Mantau Teo. So, like, okay. As a profession, those people took a big hit this week. Like, you can't blame us for being duped by Lance and Manti.
Yeah.
But you can blame Rick Riley for being duped for years after years. But let's face it, not a single word that came out of his mouth was believable in that Oprah interview. Not a single word. And why, Liz Dolan, you know, purveyor of PR and brands, why would a guy do that? What? And then I'd like to get Sheila's psychological diagnosis. But
well, I was going to say, we usually leave it to Sheila to diagnose people. But watching Lance on Thursday night, I saw, like, for the first time so clearly that Lance Armstrong is a sociopath. You know, you can just.
Well, yes, definitely yes. And add malignant narcissist. And that
malignant as opposed to a benign narcissist.
Right. And I've done years of research on that. So, yes, he's an MN and an S.
But from a straight PR point of view, Leanne, I was really shocked at the end of the interview on Thursday why he bothered to do it, because he was clearly lying about a lot of stuff still.
Right.
So if you're going to do the no holds barred world exclusive thing, you better lay it out, man. But he was just not prepared to not win the debate. You know, he was just not prepared to really admit to all of the stuff they did. I mean, really, when he says, oh, I never bullied people. Really?
Really, yeah.
Really, Lance? I mean, like,
yeah. I don't know how we got the drugs. Oh, in a Coke can? Gee, I don't know. Huh? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And the people that he should have been apologizing to, when he said about Emma O'Reilly, that, you know, that masseuse who really got, he trashed her and sued her for $1 million. And I like the way he used kind of his verb tenses and what the subject of the sentences were. He said, she got bullied. Oh, really, Emma? I mean, oh, really, Lance? By whom did she get bullied? Or she got run over? Oh, yeah, really? And who did that? It's like the weight loss class that I go to, the therapist who always leads the discussion. She said, it's so interesting that people say, I lost, you know, 30 pounds and then it came back. So it's not, you know, it's I lost it, but I didn't gain it. It just came back. And that's what it sounded like to me listening to Lance. It's like somehow people were getting bullied when he said he was not really in charge of the doping scheme.
Right.
Oh.
Like, that's when I was like, I almost just turned off the TV entirely because it was clear that he has not gotten to where he really needs to go. To sound a little bit like Oprah, you know, he really, really was not ready to come clean. But then I don't get, like, what is he going to get from this? There's nothing the cycling authorities heard the other night. They're going to predispose them to letting him compete again. I totally don't get it.
Liz,
I don't know.
Let me ask you, Liz and Sheila, do you think he feels good about the interview? Do you think he came away from the interview and said, "Whoo, that went well.
Nailed it."
Well, Dr.
No, because the malignant narcissist, it's just they're creating an image that they want to project to try to make them, they feel terrible about themselves. They hate themselves.
Really?
So no matter what he says, he still hates himself. So isn't that a little payoff? I mean, really? To know that he really hates himself.
Yeah, Sheila, I feel better.
I mean, the thing is, I'd really never heard Lance Armstrong speak a great deal. And he's really despicable. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, the interview for someone like me that really didn't follow him that closely in the cycling and really didn't key into a lot of his interviews. I was like that. I mean, he should not have gone on television because he didn't do himself any favors. That's for sure.
But you know what? I would say, I mean, having met Lance Armstrong a bunch of times early in his career when I was at Nike and we were sponsoring him. And then, Leon, you and I, how long ago, like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, we did a whole event with him at City of Hope to raise money for cancer research,
right?
Yes, we
did. We hosted, we emceed an event where he was there with Dr. Ruth, right? Wasn't it Dr. Ruth?
Oh.
It was a sex therapist and Lance Armstrong. Dr. Joyce Brothers.
Oh, that's
and
what
Lance
was.
Armstrong. Remember
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
What was that event?
Leon, there's a big difference between.
Not really. No, Julie, that was the scary part. That's all I can say.
But I think the people that have dealt with Lance for a long time, and lots of people much more than me, I mean, Lance has always been a jerk.
Right.
I mean, he has never been a nice person. But that doesn't make him not a great competitor and a great fundraiser. But, you know, so I'm okay with people that are not nice, because he never sold himself as Mr. Nice Guy. He sold himself as killer competitor, whether it was competing against cancer or, you know, competing against the others in the Tour de France.
Yeah.
But cheating, I'm sorry, you can't do that. And then destroying the people who accuse you of cheating. Anyway, I just feel like totally done with him, never have to think about him again. But he must think this is some kind of a process that he's in now where he's going to slowly earn his way back into at least cycling's trust. Like, I can't imagine that.
No.
Well, think of all the despicable people that have done despicable things and they end up, you know, with talk shows and things like that. So it happens.
I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
On the radio or get a TV, a little, you know, reality show. Right. I mean, it can all happen.
Well, you know, I think it will be the tale of numbers, because I think 4 million people watched the first night. But I bet about 12 people total watched the second night of the interview on the Oprah Winfrey Network. And so I think you'll see pretty immediately like how done people are with them. Like, OK, done. Not really interested in night two. Never even occurred to me to watch the second night. So.
Yeah, remember, they didn't care about cycling in the first place. So it's not like they have any vested interest in, ooh, we'd like to really see him come back. He was just such an anomaly in the United States anyway.
Right.
And got people to care about something that's not really in their wheelhouse on the average day.
Right.
So let's go to college football. Because that is much more something that people are very passionate about and will continue to care about whether Manti Te'o is playing the game or not. So
okay.
I was traveling a lot this week, so I was only getting snippets, but what the hey?
Okay. So, right. If you were traveling like Liz or focused on something else, Manti Te'o is the, you know, second in the Heisman Trophy race. He's a linebacker for Notre Dame. And He was this like absolute hero for them. And part of his narrative, part of his story this year, why he sort of vaulted to the American imagination was, first of all, Notre Dame had the undefeated season. And secondly, he had allegedly this double tragedy happen the weekend before a big game. He lost his grandmother, his beloved Samoan grandmother in Hawaii, and his girlfriend, also Samoan, allegedly living in California, died from leukemia. And I'm only laughing because we all know now she's fake. So it's okay to laugh that she died from leukemia.
It's not that tragic.
After being in allegedly a tragic, like, hit and run accident the April before. So she was already in a coma when she was diagnosed with cancer. Okay. Uh-huh. But it turns out it's a gigantic, complex, complicated hoax that the poor guy never actually had a real girlfriend. He was the victim of the unusual circumstance of Samoan on Samoan crime. There were some, I mean, how often does that happen? There's a group of people here in California that decided to like create a fake girlfriend for Manti Te'o and then go to these elaborate lengths to keep the hoax going. So it wasn't just a Facebook page and a couple of emails over the course of 3 or 4 years of their quote relationship. It was extensive phone calls. It was letters before the game that, you know, there were phone calls to brothers and sisters and her parents when she was allegedly in the coma and dying. He spoke to nurses in the hospital. They read scripture over the phone. I mean, it was extraordinary. And it turns out it was all a fake. She did not, in fact, die in September. She never died. And I think the lesson is that a relationship with a fake girlfriend lasts a lot longer than a relationship with a real girlfriend.
Especially when you're in college.
This poor guy is always going to be the guy with the fake girlfriend. You know? I mean, always. He could go to the Pro Bowl and he will always be the guy with the fake girlfriend.
It's similar to the Lance story in the sense that Lance said, I just told one lie, but I told it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And I think what little I followed on the Te'o story, it's like, once he told his dad that he actually did meet her, right? Like he went, they set up a meetup when he was home in Hawaii on vacation and she didn't show. But when he came home, he told his dad that he had met her.
Yes.
So I mean, that's lying to your parents. Who among us has not done that? Okay.
And he said, rightly so, he was embarrassed that he only had this online relationship with her and she already meant so much to him. So yes, You can see how that could have gotten perpetrated.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know how close I feel to Eli Manning, quarterback for the New York Giants.
Yes.
He does not feel close to me, but I feel very close to him. So I can kind of understand what happened to Manti. I really can.
Well, I feel so burned this week, Julie, by Lance, that I'm tempted to take it out on Manti.
I know.
Because I find the story believable. The hoax, the elaborateness of the hoax is crazy.
It is shocking. And they're from Southern California. So the hoaxers' families have been saying, this has been, quote, a nightmare for the whole family and the whole Samoan community. We're so embarrassed. We can't believe this. Because he was really, you know, quite a hero. He's a very religious guy. He's a Mormon. He's Samoan. He was really quite a character in that world. And so this is astonishing. The level to which they went to cast all those people and have fake parents and fake brothers and sisters. But here's the thing. Okay, imagine. So this is how Manti found out it was fake. Now, Sheila, you probably haven't been following this at all. So just appreciate this.
Not at all.
He thinks the girlfriend's dead. He's gone on to have the season of his life. You know, they're going to the championship game. And then he gets a phone call from her. Oh, and you know what the fake girlfriend says? The dead fake girlfriend says, hey, I'm not dead. Want to get back together?
Sheila, you have that relationship.
I've had people come back from the dead for me. I have.
And that's where it gets sticky, because that was in early December, and yet he went on to sort of perpetrate the lie.
Well, you can see that. He's just mortified. He's embarrassed.
Yeah.
And how do you even begin to explain to your coaches, to the athletic staff, to your family that you've got the fake dead girl?
I know.
Give the guy a month or two. I mean, he's not a major, I mean, He's just a college student, okay? He probably doesn't, maybe he has his own PR manager by now. I don't know. But, you know, maybe
he does now know
exactly how to unravel what had happened to him in some way to save face, you know?
I agree.
That's what I think, Julie. I would be, if it wasn't for Lance this week, I would be totally willing to believe this story the way he's telling it.
Yeah.
That once he lied to his dad, then he just had to keep lying that she was real. And he probably felt like he was in love with her. They were having these nightly phone calls, right, Leah?
He was in love with someone. He was in love with somebody on the other end of that phone.
But she did. Okay, this is a detail that I saw this morning on ESPN.com because Jeremy Schapp did a lengthy interview with them, I guess, on Friday night.
Yeah.
That I guess part of what would have been the red flag to Sheila and many of us is every time they went to like do a Skype call, which is what we're doing now, or FaceTime, she had limited connectivity.
So
she kept having technical difficulties on her end every time he was supposed to be able to talk to her live, like on his computer, the way kids today naturally would, right?
That's how they talk, yes.
Yeah. So the fact that that went on for so long, that would have been a little bit of a red flag. But still,
if you're in love, Liz, and you want it to work out, you're patient, right?
Right.
Love is patient, Julie. Love is kind. I'm sure those were the scriptures they were reading over the phone to each other. That's what I've heard. But, you know, really, the big cover story in Sports Illustrated, someone should have gone to her grave. And it was finally this deadspin that was like, well, where is she buried? Where's the grave? You know, they just asked some simple questions that the Sports Illustrated journalist should have asked.
Or you could argue that it really shouldn't be a story at all. You know, like, come on, a guy's girlfriend, maybe that's too much to ask, that if you're in the national football championship, the big game, and you have this undefeated season, then everything in your life is fair game. But do I really care about some guy's girlfriend?
Well, he used the narrative, Liz. He used the narrative,
Liz,
first.
Yeah, and ask Brent Musburger. What about the national championship? It seemed like the other quarterback's girlfriend really was the story.
That's true. Yes, I noticed there was lots of commentary online about that.
Oh, and now she's gotten a job like hosting at the Super Bowl for a network.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, yeah, I mean, you know, at least she's real, Liz. At least she's real. So, again, poor man Titeo. That's a lifetime of mocking.
Well, speaking of managing your own narrative, I was thinking about this week that, you know, I'm sure he's not the first kid to have a fake girlfriend. And there are plenty of women.
No, Liz, I think he is.
No, and there are plenty of like fake boyfriends and fake girlfriends that have been invented over the years just because it helps people feel better about themselves. But I decided that what I need for my narrative is a fake ex-husband.
Yeah,
because I think you get to a certain point, you know, I'm in solid middle age now, that when people say, are you married? Do you have kids? And, you know, when you say, no, well, never been married, never have kids, they look at you kind of suspiciously.
Yeah.
Like, what's up with you?
Right.
And I'm thinking if I could just say, yeah, my ex-husband, I have an ex-husband, then you're like out from under or like whatever it is there. So just thinking about that, like adding that to my narrative might be good.
Okay. Well, I'm on board, Liz. You can do whatever you want. I don't care at this point.
I love that, Liz. I can help you create one. I've had one. So let's talk.
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life. Aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo, you can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. youthful, yeah. Liz. Your youthful, yeah, glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undarius seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SAD Sisters. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SAD Sisters at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. Mm-hmm. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And PROS is spelled P-R-O-S-E. pros.com/sisters. Thanks, PROS.
All right, so that's the ups and downs in the outside world. But Julie, we've had a bit of our own roller coaster week here, haven't we?
Yes, we have. You know, from time to time, we like to update you on what's happening with our dad, who is now in end stage Alzheimer's. And the week started well, as sisters, as you know, because you received an email from me on Monday night, I think, or maybe Tuesday morning, where I had reported to all of you that I had met with the hospice nurse. Our dad is now in hospice. So he is in the dying process because he's having difficulty swallowing, which is a very common symptom with Alzheimer's. But I had written to all of you saying, you know, Dad is stable. He had had a stable week. There was no further decline. There were no other complications. And, you know, we're really feeling pretty good because all of you have, you know, come to Dallas and you've seen Dad. He's in a nice nursing home, very close to my house. And I have the opportunity to see him pretty much every day and check on him. And so we know that he's well cared for and that he's not in any pain and things were stable. And didn't you feel good when you received that?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, your key word was stable, which was first time we've achieved that in a while.
Yes. So it was, but that was at the beginning of the week. Mm-hmm. By midweek, I had received, you know how it is. I went to exercise. I was away from my cell phone because Dad is, you know, at the end stage. I never am without my cell phone these days. I have it by my bed. I always, everywhere I go. But when I'm exercising, I do put it in the locker for that 1 hour. Well, you know, lo and behold, I exercised for 1 hour, came out, and there were like 10 messages on myself, all from the nursing home, all with these ominous messages, no details, just please call immediately. There's an incident, please call immediately. And, you know, so, okay, so that really kind of makes you feel bad because they didn't say, like, dad has a fever or dad has, you know, they said it was an incident, which is, you know, and dad's had a couple other incidences with
Right.
So I get the call. I'm scrambling. I'm trying to get dressed, find out what's going on. And here's what happened. Dad still is in a wheelchair, but he has some mobility. He's able to move his feet and sort of paddle around. And he's up on a secure floor, but all the doors to all the other patients' rooms are open. So dad had, and in the morning, he usually has some structured time. But there is some free time. There's some gaps where he's generally just paddling up and down the hall, or he's looking out the window, or he's down watching people get physical therapy. Well, on this morning, he somehow had paddled into what can only be described as the critical care person at this nursing home. This individual has a tracheotomy, has a feeding tube, has oxygen. So just lots of equipment, lots of tubes. And somehow dad made it past the nursing station and into this patient's room. And he managed to get on the far side of the patient's bed where all the equipment was. And he pulled out this other patient's oxygen tubes.
Wow.
Janae. And then he fell out of the wheelchair. And wait for it, because it gets worse. This was the day that the nursing home was having their state inspectors do their Medicare and Medicaid inspection. So the first people to the scene when all the alarms and the crashing went on were the state inspectors. Oh, my God. The other is fine. Then secondly, dad is okay, too, because
that's important. Yes.
I mean, he fell out of the wheelchair as well. How he got in that room, possibly because they were having the state inspection. There were a lot of different people up on the floor. They were requesting information. They were requesting interviews from residents at the nursing home. So it was very, very busy. And I think dad somehow slipped through the cracks, got into this room. So the response, of course, because it happened with a critical care patient, and I think everyone, including us, can just imagine how much worse it could have been. I mean,
right.
We can all go there immediately, how much worse this situation could have been if dad had disrupted other tubes or, you know, who knows. So that's bad. Certainly the fact that it was done in front of the state inspector.
We just can't get a break. I mean, honestly.
I know.
You just can't get a break. I mean, it's all terrible. It's just terrible. It's a terrible disease.
I know. I rushed there, and by the time I got there, they were, you know, dad was back in his wheelchair, and they have truly nice nursing care at this nursing home. You know, one of the nice regular nurses was taking his blood pressure because he had had a fall, and they just wanted to make sure that dad wasn't hurt. Of course, nobody else was talking to dad, but it wasn't like they were huddled around dad or anything like that. No, he was like sort of isolated by himself.
In timeout. He's in timeout.
Well, it's.
And the nurse said, you know, he has Alzheimer's. He didn't, you know. He didn't know what he was
right.
doing.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
They were just tubes to him. You know, he was just, you know, they still sometimes have that curiosity to like pull things or push things. I can't explain it. I don't know what's going on in his head. And, you know, he couldn't explain what happened. But, you know, Leon, I called you. I was crying. I was like, oh my gosh, I just couldn't believe that this had happened. I couldn't, you know, I just couldn't even, you know, here our dad is dying And at the same time, well, let's face it, he almost committed murder.
I know.
We should. I know. We
should. Hey, but, you know, I mean, that wouldn't have been good, would it?
No.
No. You know, it's so interesting, Julie, when you talk to your friends or other people about the fact that your parent has Alzheimer's, they always ask about this. They always say, oh, does he remember who you are when you walk in the room? Right. And I've taken to saying, you know what? No, but that is the least of our problems. Right. And here's what people don't talk about with Alzheimer's. There's all of this incredibly erratic behavior.
Right.
There's dangerous behavior. And then there's also just the emotional terror that the patient himself feels. I mean, you know, because you saw it later that day and the next day, you know, Dad goes through these phases of just being like emotionally out of control, so agitated and so afraid. And it's like this Groundhog Day. They have no idea who you are or what's happening around you, what's happening around them or where they are. And so it's the difficulty of how much emotional pain they are in when these things happen that I think is the hardest. The emotional pain for us that he may or may not know who we are when we walk in the room is nothing compared to what he's experiencing.
I know. And he really had a really rough day after the fall, not physically, but emotionally. He was terrified and terrified of everything around him. He was very difficult. It was impossible to calm him down. Yeah, it was really rough. It was really rough. And then, of course, now we have the response, because what one of the nurses aide told me is like, when things happen in front of the state, they like to see a correction plan. So now we're kind of working on the correction plan. How can we make Dad safer? How can we keep him at the nursing home, but do it in a way that, you know, will be safe for him and, quite frankly, economical for us, that we don't have to move him or that we, you know, don't have to hire 24/7 minders to, you know, so we have care on top of care. So the first part of the correction plan, I can tell you, is that they put a Christmas bell on Dad's.
Okay. Really? Okay, yeah, let's start with that.
Yeah.
A tracking device.
He has an alarm on. He's alarm, you know, they have an alarm. So if he attempts to get out of his wheelchair, but now just to track the wheelchair, they have a nice Christmas bell on it. So I thought that was sort of gentle and good. They've been doing a 3-day time motion study of just sort of tracking him each hour. What are the critical hours? And we're hoping this week, you know, that we can work out a new plan for, you know, new care, I guess. And that's the roller coaster thing, that as soon as you type the word stable and send that out in an email, you know,
right,
it comes undone. So never set. You are never, you know, we are never going to be stable. What, you know, whatever plan I work out this week is, you know, might not work the following week, but we're just, you know, that's where we are. And that's what we're going to try to do for Dad's, just to make a plan so he's okay.
Oh, man. That is this week's roller coaster report, but it has really been hard week after week for, you know, a good solid year now.
Yes.
Probably 2 years where this is what it's really like. Okay, Julie, hang in there.
Hang in there, Jewel.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah. This is Sheila. It's been such a hard year for all of us. I mean, obviously it's a really rough year. And I know I've talked to you guys personally, but I feel like everything changes when, you know, you lose a parent and, you know, this is going on. And I don't know about you, but I've been going through a lot. I've been seeing life differently. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. In what way?
Well, just everything. Like, I feel like life is very short. So, I mean, on a very, very superficial level, I've made some changes in my life. I just wanted to share them.
Please.
That's what we expect from you. Superficial level, Sheila.
Superficiality. So I want to do a shout out, first of all, to Bob Wondries Ford in Alhambra, California, because I am now a proud owner of a Ford C-Max hybrid.
All right.
Nice. Now, what made you pick that car?
I just saw all the ads on TV, Liz, and they looked really good.
Oh, you're the person that falls for advertising. Nice.
I totally do. You know I do. And I've had a hybrid before. I enjoy owning a hybrid. I like to save money on gas. I like to give back to the environment, as it were. So, like, I literally went and bought a car without any help.
Yeah, which really distressed my husband and sons, who love nothing more than buying cars. They were just only disappointed, not in your choice, but in the fact that they didn't get to go test drive and negotiate for you. But you did it, Sheila. You pulled up. You said, I have a new car. You were so excited. And it's adorable. It's kind of a cult car, too. A lot of fans.
It's a cult car. Yeah. And on that note, I want to say, Liz, thank you for all the years with the Saab.
Yeah. Okay. Where'd that end up in this process?
Well, I negotiated that. They gave me money for the Saab.
All right. Nice.
Yeah.
So that's a moneymaker for you.
I mean, literally, since I lost the seatbelt, which became unfixable, and there were no airbags, I realized that was not a safe car for me to be driving.
Right.
But I had a good run with that, Liz. A good run.
That's good. That's good. For people that don't follow along what Sheila's driving when I replaced my car because I needed a four-door car because I was spending a lot of time driving our parents around, and they could not get in and out of the back seat of the two-door Saab that I was driving. So I passed the Saab on to Sheila and adopted a wagon. So that's good. I'm glad it had a full life out there with you.
Yeah, and I enjoyed the C-Max. Brought it down yesterday for my free car wash, Leanne. You know, you get a free car wash after you buy it.
That's a great deal when you pay thousands of dollars for a car and they slide you the $10 car wash. Good.
And so I went down and I had my new plates. I had him put on the new plates. I'm not doing anything.
Yeah.
I'm just letting Bob Wondries take care of everything. And I was surprised to see and happy to see that they have a Keurig coffee maker in the waiting room.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's going to be important long term.
That's an upgrade. So good for you, Bob Wondries. I didn't have time to fill out this online survey under the time allowed. So I just want to do a shout out nationally now that you did a great job. Okay. The other thing I've been doing, which is, you know, I don't know if you guys knew that I was once pretty good in the kitchen.
Yes, I remember when you had an actual husband and not an ex-husband, that you did a lot of cooking in that little New York kitchen of yours.
And I enjoyed the cooking. So I've just decided, you know, since I've been going through a lot of changes, that I decided to start cooking again.
Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling
sure.
there
yes.
with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because yeah. It can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free-for-a-year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox. Liz, you know we love talking about FrameBridge, don't we?
We do. Because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already Framebridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds
like... But you are like, going to be happy, okay? That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge.
Oh, so what's coming out of the kitchen, Sheila?
Well, I cook a mean chicken basque, which I sent you photos of.
Yes, you did. Now, what's in that?
It's so simple. It's chicken.
Right.
Check.
Tomatoes, olives, onions, some thyme, bay leaf. You just pop that thing in the oven, Leanne, and you cook it.
That's what cooking is. It's generally that. It's just assembling and heating. It's not.
Okay. Then I make a rather unattractive but very delicious for me gluten-free lasagna.
Mm. That sounds awful.
Bad. That's terrible.
Which I enjoy with the lean turkey, the spinach, different herb sauce, and I have to do some cheese, which you wouldn't like, some goat cheese and stuff like that. But I can bring that for my lunch, and I enjoy it very much.
Okay, nice.
Yesterday, I took some leftover steamed delicious broccoli and put it in my blender with some white beans. What did I put? Lemon juice, tofu, cumin, a little cayenne, and made a broccoli dip.
Wow. Oh. Wow, Sheila, that's impressive. I like that. That's
you like
going
that, Leah?
One step beyond, because you looked at your ingredients, you used a blender, which is, you know, another level of equipment. Good for you. That sounds fantastic. No, Sheila, I applaud it. You know, it's just good to eat your own food.
And then I also made a shrimp fried rice. Mm. A couple weeks ago, which was really good with peas, fresh shrimp, ginger. I forget what else. I mean, that was a good meal.
So have you committed to like a specific frequency of cooking? Like,
yes,
like on school nights, you're going to make your own dinner, or only on weekends, or what's your plan for that?
No, I am making food for the entire week now.
Oh, really?
Wow. I do not want to spend, again, I have my car payments list. I have to think about things. I'm moving money around. I'm trying to save here and there. So I want to cook my own the whole week. That's it. And I enjoy it, Lee. And it is so
relaxing.
Much better.
It's relaxing. You can just focus on it. I do.
It's
I like cooking. Yeah. I'd certainly rather cook than wait in line. That's generally your choices. Like, I hate waiting in line. I'd rather cook.
All right.
So that's it. I'm really happy about the new car, of course, the new program. And next up is, you know, getting a good coffee maker at school and trying to stop my Starbucks habit. Okay. I think, as Susie Orman said, I could buy a condo with the money I spend at Starbucks. I don't know if I believe that, but I'm thinking at this point, the amount of time I spend at coffee shops, it may be true.
Yeah.
Okay, that
you can buy a fake condo, Sheila. No doubt. Yeah,
that's true. Just tell us you bought a condo. We'd believe you. Though, actually, Liam's husband and sons would have to move you if you bought a fake condo, and so you'd be unmasked then. Well, Julie did some very fine cooking when I was at your house over New Year's. Julie, you made those delicious black-eyed peas for New Year's Day. So you know that's a little bit off your normal menu routine, right?
That's right. But I felt like we needed some good luck for 2013.
Yeah.
So if beans, black-eyed peas, that's what we did. With bacon, I think that's the key ingredient. Sheila,
bacon, yes.
It's a little cooking secret. Everything tastes better with bacon, Sheila. Just keep it in mind.
And I believe that bacon is gluten-free. So you're in the clear.
It is, Liz. You are right. Good one, Liz.
Sheila, aren't you training for what are you training for? You're swimming a lot, too.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I decided this is my other new thing, quickly. I'm going to enter my first master swim meet. That's the good news.
Yeah, good.
The bad news is I just checked my categories now. It's February 9th. So basically the age group, I'm at the top of the 50s age group, which is I'm 50 to 54. Ooh, that's rough.
Yeah.
So I'm of course 54. Now the good news is I just went online. I checked the national records for the 100 free.
Yeah.
And there's a world renowned swimmer named Laura Val.
Yeah.
Okay. She was just in Swimmer magazine. If you subscribe to Swimmer, which you don't.
No.
But her time for the 100 free is only 1:01. And I just timed myself this morning in my training session, and I was coming in at 1:10. So
you only need to improve by 10%.
If I should shave off 10 seconds, I'd be a world record holder.
Yes.
Yes, you would.
Yes.
Now, Laura Val is probably 50 and not 54. But you know what? I'm going to go for it, girls. February 9th, a Rose Bowl. I'll keep you posted.
What you need to find out is what's the world record for the age group above that?
Yeah.
For next year's age group and work towards that. I mean, I'm no swim coach, but that's what I would say.
All right, Leanne.
It's not that Leanne doesn't have faith in you this year.
Just burst my bubble, man. I only have a couple weeks to train.
It's shaving like 4 seconds. It's like 3 seconds a lap. I mean, that's a lot in swimming time, but you can do it, Sheil. I believe you. I believe in you. All right. Speaking of changes. Okay. Let's talk briefly about the Golden Globes. Let's just talk about the main story. And that was Jodie Foster's haircut.
Oh.
I mean, I haven't talked to one person this week.
What did you think?
I think the haircut's brilliant. And I think I'm going to go get it this week.
Okay, Leanne, go for it.
Yeah.
Well, I like the fact that Julie this week, because you know that Leanne has always had the Jodie Foster doppelganger thing going on. Didn't you send Leanne several historical photos of Jodie Foster haircuts, all of which Leanne has had?
Right.
It was amazing. I saw it. There was a story posted at Huffington Post about Jodie Foster's best ever haircut. And boom, there it was. It's exactly the same haircut that Leanne had.
Had exactly the same time. I had it just a year before Jodie, as a matter of fact. There was that moment when Jodie was at Yale and I was in high school in Connecticut. And I used to go see bands at bars in New Haven. The drinking age was 18. I could get in. That was legal. But people used to let me into bars thinking I was fat Jodie Foster. So... And I can see now why, because we literally had the same haircut. So
you could totally do that haircut, Leanne.
Yeah. So I've been doing the light layer Diane Keaton homage, and now I'm just going to go straight for the blunt cut because I have a bunch of events coming up
right here
in the spring. I got to, now that I've finished the book, I got to get my act together in terms of hair and the rest of me. So looking forward to that.
Go crazy like Jodie Foster. Just get her hair. Okay. Don't go nuts.
All right, Dr. Sheila, can you, the Jodie Foster speech last week, which in some ways was very admirable, but in most ways was just wildly confusing. What did you make of that performance, Sheila?
I would say hypomania. Hello. Over-rehearsed hypomania.
Okay.
I mean, that made no sense at all. Mm-hmm. Plus, I think, frankly, she was condescending. I thought she sounded like she was scolding us in a way. I thought it was really disturbing.
Okay. I can vouch for that because we were texting during the Globes and I texted Sheila. I was like, that was nutty. And Sheila's response was much stronger than nutty. I can tell you that.
We can't repeat it here.
We can't repeat it, but it was much stronger than nutty.
Well, you guys, Sheila and Leah, you were not on the show last week, on Satellite Sisters last week. But Julie, when we talked about the Globes, can I just say that everything we wanted to come true did come true?
Because, oh, really?
Because Argo won, and we were rooting for that. Mm-hmm. Homeland won, and we were rooting for that. And Tina Fey and Amy Poehler won, and we were rooting for them.
Yeah.
So I would say all around a wildly successful Golden Globes for the Satellite Sisters.
I think all predictions for the future come to us because we were 100% Liz. We got it right.
Yeah. And I'm not even sure we couched them as predictions. Mm-hmm. It's more just what we wanted. And we got what we wanted. So that was the most important thing. The, seeing Mel Gibson there was a little bit of a shocker, but in many other ways, that was a wildly entertaining show. And I think that Tina and Amy should just like a permanent gig doing that.
Yeah, they were fantastic. Genuinely very funny. Perfect, perfect note. They struck a perfect note.
Oh, I thought the funniest joke was when Tina Fey said that the Hunger Games was what she's been playing for the last 12 weeks to get ready, to get ready for the Globes. And then Amy Poehler said the Life of Pi is the next 12 weeks. I mean, it's not going to get any funnier than that.
No, and it's just like a perfect female humor because you know that that's true. Like we've all done it, you know, starved and then just exploded. It was just very funny.
Well, but even though I don't want her to win the Oscar, I did go in yesterday to my own hairdresser and get the modified Anne Hathaway.
Okay.
Because I've been wearing my hair much shorter. She has it super duper short now. I don't need it that short. But I was just, it was clear looking at that show last week that I had let my hair get out of control. So I almost, because I was on the road this week, I almost got a cut in a strange city.
Ooh,
by a strange hairdresser.
No. No.
Yeah. No,
how bad your hair looks. Don't do that.
Yeah. I held off and made it home in time yesterday afternoon to get in. And as my hair cutter is cutting my hair, she said, oh, yeah, your sister is coming in on Monday.
That's right. I have Monday off. I got to do the hair. I guess we're all doing hair. Let's see. Who can I be? I don't know.
I'm like, Sheila drives from Pasadena to Santa Monica to get her hair cut? Yeah. Okay. Good for you, Sheila.
Well, I have the hybrid now. I'm saving.
She's making money. She's practically making money.
Literally making money.
Or dealership thrifts and free haircuts, Liz. You didn't.
Free haircuts. Nice. That is no wonder you went to Ford. You know, if free haircuts are part of the package. Okay. Wow. Whew. Wow. This was a big week. There's a lot going on in the real world and in our world. Anything else we needed to report on? I don't think so.
I think that's it. That was exhausting. Okay. Covered
so,
a lot of ground.
Okay. So let's remind people, Leanne, that you also, they haven't heard from you for a while, you also have your own podcast, Chaos Chronicles, which is hilarious. Are you getting back on track with that now?
I am actually. I'm going to probably record a show now that I have the whole side back in the closet. Unlike Jody, I'm back in the closet here with my setup. So I thought as long as I was in the closet today, editing the Satellite Sisters show, I'd record a Chaos Chronicles, just fill people in on what I've been doing and what's been happening. I took a couple weeks off. You know, I found that writing a novel is very time consuming. It's very time, especially when you're like months late. So you just don't have room in your brain for anything else. But now that I'm seeing the end of that process, I think I can do a few more things. So yeah, the Chaos Chronicles will be back in business this week as well.
So, you know, you can always get either of those shows at iTunes, or you can try Stitcher Radio is a really easy way to listen to it on your smartphone. Join Satellite Sisters, the group Satellite Sisters on Facebook. All the new Satellite Sister shows are always posted there. And do you have your own Chaos Chronicles Facebook group, Leanne?
I do. I think it's the wrong kind, though.
I don't understand it.
Yeah, one of my goals is just to figure out Facebook. They keep changing it. If they just keep it the same, I could figure it out. So I have a page, and it should be more like a group. I don't know how that happened. Like at Satellite Sisters, we have a page that no one goes to except me for like 3 years. And then there's a group that's very active every day, people posting and commenting. It's fun over there on the group.
Yeah.
I should get one of those.
All right. So, Julie, I know you're off. You have a busy day because you're also caring for your grandchildren today, I understand.
So that's right. I have Dad, of course. And then all this week, I have my granddaughter Alice and Benjamin staying with me because their parents are away on a business trip. So that is going to be a busy week. So yeah.
Wow.
So, in fact, this is nap time, but I can hear the pitter patter of little feet upstairs, that there's no napping going on.
All right. Well, everybody have a good week. It was good to talk to you. We are the Satellite Sisters. Don't forget, call your Satellite Sister.